song or two, so I started to change it up just a little bit, but I thought what a better way to introduce our speaker than to have Brother Stevens come up after his granddaughters and his daughter and son-in-law sing for us, and hope that you've enjoyed getting to know one of our missionaries a little bit better. And then to those of you who don't know Brother Stevens, he was our interim pastor for some 8 months or so, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful blessing to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and we're so thankful that God brought him this way, and just the Lord working things in, the connections from one of the leadership here, one of the men that got in touch with him, and he's helped 13 churches in transition times. Now, we're by far his favorite, but he's helped 12 other churches. And he's been used of the Lord in different ways. After he retired from the pastorate, then God rehired him for the purpose of helping churches transition from one pastor to the next through difficult times, sometimes not so difficult, but just to be there to be a stabilizing force. And so we're thankful for Brother Stevens, and he's remained a great friend of our church. Brother Stevens, why don't you come up and preach for us? And we're so thankful that he's here. And if you didn't know he was preaching, I'm sorry about that. And if you came to hear somebody better, then he's old. He's all we got.
I enjoy your pastor, except for the time I have to spend with him when he does those kind of things. Good to see you tonight. Many of you I remember. And I want to say something again about the tremendous blessing of that group that went over, the men that went over to help in Ponape. And some of them are sitting here today. I'm looking at right now some that helped pay the financial picture to make that all possible. Thank you so much for that. Marilyn is here somewhere. Where is Marilyn? Where? Way in the back. She's not a backslider. She's just hard for her to get around. But I'm thankful that she's with me tonight. Tomorrow we celebrate. We'll be married 61 years. And you ought to pray for her. 61 years with me. And I thank the Lord for her. I told her if she ever leaves me, I was going with her. Thank the Lord for her today and rejoice that continue to pray. She has congestive heart failure, among other things, and continue to pray for her. Good to be here. If you notice, I've joined the Canaanite group. Years ago, I fell off a ladder, many years ago, and had to use a cane for a while, so they called me a Latter-day Saint. And a Canaanite. Well, I've skipped the Latter-day Saint business, but I am a Canaanite tonight. And thank the Lord to join this group as I look out here. Several are using canes. These women sometimes need to use it on their husbands, but that's okay. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. We're going to talk a little story here about Jehoshaphat. He's the king of the southern kingdom. Now, after Solomon, the king was divided into the north and the south. It is interesting for us, you southerners, to know that there was no king in the north that was worth anything. A lot of good kings in the south. Ought to make you southerners feel better that there was some good men in the south when it come to Israel. But there, we come over there to verse 1 of chapter 20. And it came to pass after this, also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them also beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And you'll find there, if you go down to verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared. This is a story of going from fear to hope. From fear to hope. It was a time in which, in his life, in which there was a time of defeat, a time of discouragement. Certainly there were trials, there was testing, there was some tragedies that took place in the kingdom, but thank God. I don't know where you are tonight. Our country is a mess, is it not? Be careful watching news too long. It can really hurt your faith. Be careful today. I will tell you today, we realize we're in a mess today, but you know something? God is still in charge. And I want you to notice in this text, you're going to find there are four key principles on what to do, how to change your fear into faith. The first one I want you to notice here is to pray He prayed a prayer that changed his focus. Be careful with your focus. Watch your focus tonight, folks. Be careful with it. He prayed a prayer that changed his focus. If you notice there in verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared. Now, when I was here, I preached a lot. I used a lot of alliteration. How many remember me using alliteration? How many remember me? How many remember my messages? All right. Anyway, there's an alliteration I want you to see in the text. Somebody asked me why I use so much alliteration. I said, because I'm illiterate. So I have to. But look at verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. I want you to see these three words. Set himself, the second word, to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout the day. And then go down to verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the corner. Three words, set. When he was in trouble, when he feared, when he was going through trials, when he's going through tribulations. And how many have gone through some trials lately? Let me see your hands. If you're not one now, there's one coming down the road. We're reminded in Scripture that we as Christians are faced not if, but when you have these trials. We realize they're very real. So the word set here is he made a decision. He said, I'll not be defeated. Let me say to you, I don't know what you may be going through today, but whatever you can say, make a decision. Say, God, I will not let these things discourage me. I will not live a defeated life. I'll not let Satan get a hold of me. I will not. He made a decision. And that's found in the word set. And then notice the second word, seek. Here he made a discovery. You will find in this text, and there you will find two main words. Go down to verse 6. And he said, O Lord, get those two names. The word Lord is from the Hebrew word Jehovah. He's Jehovah. That's the word, the name of God for our mediator. Aren't you glad you got a mediator tonight? That's what prayer is all about. There are two times when you need to pray, when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. When you're going through whatever you're going through, I have found, I told the Lord not too long ago, I said, Lord, I'm going to pray, but I don't feel like it. And he said, do it anyway. And I pray, boy, did I tell you something, God took over. He prayed a prayer that changed his focus. The second word is the word God. Now, the word Lord comes from the Hebrew word Jehovah, but the word God here is the Hebrew word Elohim. That's our maker. He's not only our mediator, he's our maker. Everything that happens in my life and in your life, right? Judy, right? It's God's in charge of it. Hallelujah for that. And so we realize he made a discovery. When you go to prayer, you're going to discover some things. God is there to hear you and to help you. Go jump ahead in your text and go over to verse 9. Verse 9, look at that last few words there. Thou will what? Hear and what? I want you to note that. That makes me a little Baptist-cal-sickle. I think about I got a God that hears. Hallelujah. I got a God that helps. You know why? That's a great discovery. I don't know how many times in my ministry I've had people come for counseling or I've been to their home and they're down and discouraged. And I say, well, have you prayed about it? They look at me like prayer. Oh, no, I didn't think about that. I didn't think about that. I actually had some. He says, you know, I didn't think about that. Well, listen to me. Think about it. Because prayer will change your focus. He made a decision, that word set. He made a discovery, that word seek, the Lord God. And I want you to notice something in verse 6 again. Go down to verse 6. Say, O Lord God of Father, art not thou the God in heaven? Whew. That makes me want to pull my hanky out and get all excited. I got a God in heaven. You got a God in heaven tonight, amen? Very real tonight. And notice the word, to go back there, if you will, to verse 6. And the third word, set, he made a decision, seek, he made a discovery, stood, he made a determination. He decided, listen, I'm just not going to let it get me down. I'm going to go on in my Christian life. Listen, I don't know how God's going to work this out. How many of you ever had a problem and say, Lord, I don't know, I have the slightest idea how you're going to work this out. How, Lord? I remember, I think I've told a story many years ago in the church in Charleston. Remember that one? How they sued our church. Remember me telling you about that? And, I tell you what, I cried out, Lord, help! And I know he heard me. And I praise the Lord. We just need to be determined. There was a determination. So the first thing is, he prayed a prayer that changed his focus. What's your focus on tonight? What's your focus on tonight? Well, I will say this. I'm probably preaching to the choir. When you come to prayer meeting, that's the best part of the church. Amen? Those that really come and make, boy, listen, what a crowd tonight. I know you didn't come to hear me. You came to hear, see what kind of a son-in-law I have. Right? He's a good guy. But I noticed secondly, he prayed not only a prayer that changed his focus, he received the power that correct his feelings. You see, your focus is often determined by your feelings. Let me say this to you. You either will live in the shadow of your feelings or the depth of your faith. Of your faith. Which is it? I had somebody come to me many years ago, and I'll never forget it. He said, I don't feel like being married anymore. I don't feel like I love my wife. I says, what's that got to do with being married? He said, now you laugh at that. But he failed to realize what God had said in his word. And he really began to obey God's word. Guess what? Had a renewed marriage. You see, you will either live in the shallow of your feelings or the depth of your life. It's not for your faith. It's not great faith, but it's faith in a great Lord. Get that. It's not great faith, but it's faith in the great Lord that you have. If you look over there to verse 6, you're going to find there are four statements that you find here in verse 6 and 7. And I want you to see these. There are not statements, they're questions. Look there. Do you ever question God? I have. Hello, maybe I'm the only sinner in here. But I said, Lord, why? How many have ever done that one? Why is this happening, Lord? Verse 6 said, and it said, oh, Lord, that's mediator, that's our maker, Father. And he said, and he makes four, he asked God four questions. Question number one, he said, art not thou the God in heaven? Notice that. Art not thou the other words, God, are you not the God of the preeminence? There's all kinds of gods, isn't there? By the way, we got some folks in Washington who think they're God. Well, will they ever discover one day they're not God? There's only one God, it's the God of heaven. He's the preeminent one. And so he discovered something. He found here, he said, art not thou the God in heaven? He received a brand new power that he didn't have for a while. He prayed. Now he received a power that would correct those feelings. Have you ever lost your concept of who God is? I have at times in my life. And God had to renew that. And maybe tonight you have failed to realize, are not thou the God in heaven, the only God? That speaks of his preeminence. And then the second question is in the same verse, and rulest thou not over the kingdoms of the heathen? That speaks of his providence. You know the word providence, it comes from two words, pro, before, video. You know God has already worked out, already seen your life. It's already played out. It's already played out. I was thinking, when's the last time of you and I pray? I pray daily for Israel. How many of you pray for Israel? Pray for Israel. They're God's people. And there are nations today who want to destroy America, want to destroy Israel. I got news for you. You may destroy Israel, but you, America, but you'll never destroy Israel. You know why? Because it's in God's providence. God's in charge. I pray daily, God to defeat Russia, China, Ukraine, or the Iran, and North Korea. These people hate God. They hate everything that this book right here stands for. And if they had their way, they'd take our country over and rip this Bible to pieces. But still, they fail to realize, Lucifer, and art not thou, thou art over all the kingdoms of the heathen. Write that word, heathen. I hate to say this tonight, folks, but America has become a heathen nation. We've become a heathen nation. No longer does our country recognize God at all as the God of the Bible. And notice thirdly, because he not only dealt with God's providence and God's preeminence, but notice there, look there, the third statement that he makes there in verse 6, and in thy hand is there not power and might. Whew. There's not only the God of preeminence, the God of providence, but he's the God of power. Oh, he's the God of power tonight. I can do how many things through Christ? All, how many? Let me tell you what the word all means in the Greek. You ready for this? This is deep. Means everything. All means all. That was deep, wasn't it? Thank God for the fact that his power. Judy, I'm praying for you. I love you much, and I thank God for you. Look at the smile on her face. I wish you could see it. It's like an angel. Now, I know when Jen did her down through the year that I was here, what a blessing she is. Look at that. A lot of people, when they get sick, they just want to give up, not Judy. And by the way, you can't scare Judy. You can't scare me. I'd hope not you with heaven, with dying, because I'm going to go to be with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah for that. I rejoice in that. We've been through a few things, testings in our life relationship with Marilyn today, been in the hospital 3 times and 4 times in the ER, and I didn't know for sure a few times if she was going to get out of there. But I said, Lord, I need her, but if you need her more than I do, I understand. Only a Christian has the right view of death. Only a Christian has the right view because the power of God is so real. And then they notice here the fourth statement, which is found in verse 7. So the first one, they deal with God's preeminence. And then the second one, he dealt with God's providence. The third one with God's power. But look at verse 7. Art not thou our God? Ooh, we got a personal God. Do you love him tonight? I want you to think that one through. Do you really love him tonight? Do you really love God tonight? Do you really love the Lord and thank him for what he's done for you? Art not thou our God? It speaks of his personal presence. He's not only the God of our salvation, he's the God of our circumstances. He's the God of our circumstances. I haven't been able to see our handicapped daughter for about 2 years due to the COVID and everything. We go drive four hours to see her. We can see her for 20 minutes because of situations. We have a handicapped daughter. Most of you that are old-timers here, I got to watch that word, old. But I'm not old. I'm only 28. No, I guess that's 82. I love a 28 thought. But I think about here, and I haven't seen her, but I know God's there. Isn't God good? Amen. I remember the time my son had a brain tumor removed from his brain. You all know about that. The old timers are here. And I remember as I was in that room, 14 hours of surgery on his brain. Thought he had never able to work again. By the way, he flies jet planes all over the world today. Only God can do that. God's help. God hears. You know, our problem is we just don't pray enough to God. We're too busy. We're just too busy, aren't we? God help us. When's the last time you have spent any quality time in prayer? I don't mean praying over your meal. I mean getting away alone with God and pouring out your heart to Him. I mean getting hold of God so God can get a hold of you. That's what it's all about here. And so we see, notice what he says here also. Go down to verse 12. Oh, our God, oh, I love that, our God, my God, your God. Will I not judge them, referring to the enemies? But we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what, I like to say, now listen, what to do when you don't know what to do. This is a story of what to do when you don't know what to do. How many have been times in your life said, Lord, I just really don't know what to do? I've been there many a time. You know, I found the answer to what to do through prayer. I found the answer to know what to do through God's power. I found that to know these things with God. God shows me, and He'll show us. Not too long ago, I was going through some difficulties, and I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I really don't know how to handle this situation. But you do. And you know what? God worked it out. You believe in miracles? When God works something out, that's a miracle. I remember we were praying for the right preacher to come here. I got to be careful. The right preacher to come here. You got him. Excuse me. I'm going to try that again. You got him. Are you thankful for him?
Yes.
He and Amy? You got the right one. Now, God did that. That's a miracle. This church is going forward because the right one is here. I've done 13 entries, and I'll tell you some of them, and I told him one about one today. We got a pastor for this church, and it wasn't the right one. We thought it was. Thank God you got the right one. Anybody here object to what I just said? Stand up for a moment. One of the deacons will punch you in the nose. He, we got a God that makes everything happen. Notice here, if you will, please. Look at verse 12. I didn't finish it. No, verse 12, the end, know we not what to do, but what? Our what? Our what? Now, folks, there are two sets of eyes for the Christian. If you're not saved here tonight, you only have one set. The physical eyes that you have here. But you see here, what sees only a passing world. But you have spiritual eyes to see a perfect world and to know the will of God. And God is going to work it all out for His glory. He says there, oh, He says there, our eyes are what? You know, if your eyes are upon your problems, you're going to be discouraged and depressed. Are your eyes on Him tonight? So we see here, he prayed a prayer that changed his focus. He received the power that corrected his feelings, and he called upon the person who could cast out his fear. I want you to notice something. Look at verse 15. The end of verse 14, there then came upon Jehaziel, verse 14, and some of these other names there, I'm not too sure I'd pronounce why. They said, there came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, O Judah, verse 15, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord, what? Be what? Be what? There it is. They're not afraid. So he not only is the person who, he not only the person who can change your focus, receive you power to correct your feeling, but he can the person who can cast out your fear. Think with me, 2 Timothy 1:7. How many know 2 Timothy 1:7? Raise your hand if you know it. I know what you're afraid of. I'm going to call on you. But if you know it, God had not given us what? Spirit of what? But of what? Of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Do you see in that verse the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son? All three persons of the Godhead are mentioned in that verse. Look with me there. For God hath given us the spirit of fear, but of power. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. We have a God that will challenge every fear. The Holy Spirit will challenge every fear. What did he say there in Acts? You receive what? Power after what? Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then he said, and of love, we not only have a Holy Spirit that can challenge every fear, but we have a Father who can control every fear. He can remove it. And then notice of a sound mind. Where'd you get a sound mind from? That's what the Spirit of God, that's Jesus Christ. Let this what? Be in you, which is in Christ. That's the Son. And he will cast out that fear. Do you believe God can challenge your fear? He believes God can cancel, can remove your fear. Do you believe that tonight? You know, if you have any problem, check this book. Yeah, but some people say, well, this book is just full of myths. Well, they're mistaken. It's the eternal Word of God. And I hope you believe that tonight. Now, what we have here, we find here, fourthly, and this to me, as I close here tonight, and I'll close between now and then, whatever then is, he prayed a prayer that changed his focus. He received the power that corrected his feelings. He called upon a person that could cast out his fear, that's God, and he offered praise that would conquer his foes. Interesting. We'll get into chapter 20 in the book there. Look with me in verse 17. Ye shall not need to what? Fight in this battle. He says to Israel, Israel, I got news for you. You don't need to fight the battle. God will do it for you. He's saying to you, you and me, you don't need to fight your battles. God will do it for you. But he says you're going to have to follow I want you to notice what he says here. And he said here, let's read verse 17, the last part of it again. And I'll rather read the whole verse. You shall not need to fight the battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. I mean, God's going to save you from your circumstances. Jude and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. You know we're all afraid about tomorrow. Tomorrow. Got to take care of tomorrow. My wife says, I'm the most impatient person she's ever met. How many here have a problem with patience? Let me see your hands. Rest of you, be honest. She also has a saying. I forget what the saying was now, but she has one. Anyway, don't pray for patience. You only get those through tribulation. But look with me here as we close here. And Jehoshaphat, verse 18, bowed his head with his face to the ground, and Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the children of the Canaanites, and the children of the Kohites, and the rest of those lights, stood up. What? Look at verse 19, maybe underline, stood up to what? Praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice. Go down to verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. They went out before the army. He said to the singers, you go before the soldiers. Can't you see people going, you got problems. You want the singers to go before the soldiers to fight the enemy? Yeah. I got news for you, folks. When you and I start praising God, discouragement will leave. Depression will leave. Fear will leave. Anxiety will leave. It cannot hang around where praise is. I think I've told this story as I close. But I remember the time when one of our churches was going through a tremendous battle. Wow. You remember the time when I told you that we got sued and at Northside and what we went through, and it was because we church disciplined some people and they sued us, and I'll never forget it. And somebody asked me, said, well, how do you advertise in your church? I said, mine's free. It's in the papers all the time when you have a lawsuit. They went after us. And I would tell you, I was so depressed. I couldn't get victory, preacher. And at times, you just need to be honest with God. And I was driving down Highway 26. So depressed. And I was being to say, Lord, why are you doing this? And he said to me, as sure as it was an audible voice, but it was a voice in my heart, he said, if you would just praise me more and complain less, you'll know why. And I said to God in that car going down Highway 26, I don't feel like praising you. And he said to me, well, do it anyway. And I said, I don't want to do it. I don't feel like praising you, God. What I'm going through is just too hard. He said, you're just, the Spirit of God just spoke to my heart. And I said, okay. So I said, praise the Lord. You know what? That felt good. I said it again, praise the Lord. I got so excited in that car, preacher, that I got a little Baptist-costical. Some of you have heard that before, but I'll tell you it again today how good it was. It delivered me from depression. Delivered me from discouragement. It delivered me from fear that we were going to lose a tremendous battle we're facing. I got so excited. I began to lift my hands up, but now keep in mind, nobody's controlling the car, so use my knee to do that. I would not advise you to do that. And when I began to praise God, I got so excited, and I'm yelling, Lord, hallelujah, thank you for the lawsuit. Thank you for what you're doing, oh God. Praise God. We seem to write the bad things that happen to us in cement and the blessings of God in sand that blow away. When I begin to praise God, and I don't forget it because I thought, what am I doing here? I'm not driving this car. And I looked over there, and the guy was going, pointing to me, that guy's wacky. For the first time in many months, I was saved from my circumstances because of the prayer, because of his power, because of his presence, and because I decided to praise him instead of complaining about all the things that were wrong. How are you today as we close this service? What's happening in your life? You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through tragedies. You're going to go through testings. It was a tragedy when that wall went. By the way, if that was at night there in Pohnpei, our girls would not be here. They would have been killed by that because they'd all been asleep in that building, and that mud would have crushed their lives out from under them. Oh God, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him. And I'd like for us in a moment to sing. Can we do that, brother? If you don't lead it, I will, but I have a feeling you can do it better than I can. But let's stand together. In a few moments, we're going to sing that song, but I'm wondering if God has just spoken to your heart with our heads bowed and God dealing with you before I even turn it over to the preacher. I wonder where you are in all this. I wonder today, how's your prayer life? I mean, really, how is it? When's the last time you got alone with God? I mean, really pray, got a hold of God, God got a hold of you. You living on your feelings? Or you're living on your faith? What about your fears? Listen, there's a wrong kind of fear and a right fear to have. The wrong kind is the fear of our problems, but the right kind is to have a holy fear of God. When's the last time you just said, Lord, thank you for my problems? Maybe you need to come to the altar tonight and just say, Lord, I want to praise you for my problems. That doesn't seem normal, does it? But it's biblical. Just think how much farther for the glory of God will this church go if we do your people praise. I'd like to sing that song, and then I'll turn it over to the pastor, but there's a place for it at the altar to make some things you need to correct. You do it. Pastor, I'll turn it over to you.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures hear below. Praise Him, all of you everywhere.
Praise Him! Praise Him!
Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Again, but maybe you'd like to come and just praise the Lord through some of the problems that you're having. Sometimes we're waiting till everything gets right till we praise the Lord. If I could say it just in a whimsical way, we may be waiting a long, long time. In this world ye shall have tribulation. So I'm going to ask you to come if you would feel led and just praise the Lord through your problems and see what the Lord might do in your heart. You can do that there at your seat. You're welcome to come down here. And we never close a service without asking, while others are coming, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know about Him, but you're not sure you know Him personally, I invite you to come. Me or somebody would meet you and pray with you and show you how the Bible says you can be certain He's your personal Savior. As Brother Dan sings one more time, you come if God leads you.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures hear below. Praise Him, all of you heavenly. Praise Father, Son, and
amen. Thank you so much. You may look this way. And I thank God for Brother Stevens being here. And I wrote this down. You'll either live in the shallow of your feelings or in the depths of your faith. And I hope that we're living as Christian people in the depths of our faith. That shallow of our feelings gets pretty rough sometimes. Brother Danny, what are you doing up here? I can't remember. Oh, come on up. Yes, come on up. You can be seated. If you need to slip out, I understand. We're a little later than normal. Please don't feel bad about that. But, yes, so we'd need a motion to open this meeting. Brother Paul Pritchard would make that motion. We open the meeting. Or we don't have to make a motion, do we? I'm really experienced on this. I tell you, Brother Paul, we rescind that motion, would you? We're just opening the meeting. Yeah, take it back. So, okay, Brother Danny.